Welcome to the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. For more information about our church, please visit myc3church.net. Wherever you are listening from right now, get ready to receive as God has a word just for you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
It's good.
God is good. As Pastor Phil says, the devil is bad, but we win. We win. We're all overcomers in Christ Jesus. And I'm just so excited for people that are new here today. It's your first or second time, because in a moment you're going to get an opportunity to receive the victory that's in Christ Jesus. And you're here today because someone's brought you, but you sense a need in your life, a gap in your life, a sense of confusion, a sense of a lack of direction, a sense of frustration. But I'm telling you that here today, Jesus Christ is here for you. And He's ready when you're ready. We're ready when you're ready. We're a church that believes that people can take their next step. We're not going to push it on you. We're not going to force it on you. We just know that when you're ready to take that step closer to Jesus, He's always there, ready and waiting. My only thought is, why we put it off for so long? So don't put it off any longer today. Make this the day that you say, you know what? I need Jesus in my life. Amen. Amen. Hey, why don't you grab someone next to you, give them an appropriate level of contact, a hug or a handshake, maybe a slap if they deserve it, a friendly slap. Can we thank our incredible worship team? Don't they do a phenomenal job leading us? Amazing. Thank you, Ryan. I'll get these guys up in a little bit. We'll spend some more time with God before we finish here today. And I'm so excited about this series that we're in of Why Jesus. And I think I'm mostly excited because, again, it's another opportunity for us just to explain to people that are new to faith and on the journey of who Christ is and what He's done for us, but also for us as we lead into Easter, that we don't just let another Easter pass by and kind of just keep doing our faith at the level that we've been doing it, but that we can consistently grow in Christ. And there's always a new thing for us to discover about Christ and to receive about Christ. Even things we know theologically and fundamentally and practically in our lives, there is a greater aspect of it that we can actually apply, because who knows that we've never really arrived? You will one day. It's when you're dead and you're in heaven with Jesus. But until that day, we're growing in Christ, and that growth in us, the Christ light in us, again, as it's formed in our life, it makes us more effective and efficient as ministers of His grace and His love to this world. And so I'm excited about this series, and you know, we believe that Jesus absolutely, and I think the whole entire world would, you'd be very hard to, or almost silly to argue that Jesus was not a real man, that He didn't exist in history. It's absolutely confident, I'm confident, the world is confident that Jesus was a man who came in and radically did something radically that transformed the society he was a part of, and eventually has transformed the entire world by His beliefs. Whether you align yourself to His beliefs or not, you cannot deny that His life has done something in this world. And the reason we believe that Jesus is indeed the Son of God, that He came to earth through a virgin birth, that He lived a perfect life, that He died a death He did not deserve but did not stay dead. He was resurrected, and through that resurrection, He now offers us eternal life. The reason we believe that is because we believe the message of the Bible. And I believe the Bible because I think the Bible is one of the most integrous pieces of literature the world has ever seen. Historically, in terms of archaeology and what they find, more and more it gives evidence to the historical reliability of the Bible. And then the internal evidence of the Bible, a book that has been written, a collection of books, sorry, that has been written over thousands of years with 40 different authors, all pointing to the same message, never meeting one another, but all declaring a consistency. There is an internal evidence to Scripture that says there's something about this book. But then you look at the lives transformed by this message. That again, for 2,000 years, it's been radically transforming society. And not only that, but in my everyday interaction with people, as I pastor people and see them grow in Christ, there is a power in following Jesus. And so that's why we believe who Jesus is. That who He said He was, who He showed He was through Scripture, is who He was. We believe this. Amen? So what does that mean for me? If he is who he says he is, what is he doing for me? What is he wanting to do in me and through me? And why has he come for me? And this week we want to look at this principle we believe and a truth that we believe that Jesus is here for light. He's here for light. You need light to see. Like, I know we know that when the lights go out and we have an awkward, like a power outage. How annoying are power outages? Particularly when you're in the middle of like a really good film or like a sports thing. I don't really watch sports, so I'm trying to connect with some of you that watch sports, but you're doing that thing and or you're listening to Ryan Smith and he's just in that part of the song that's really good, or your children are in the bath and the light goes out, like the other day when the light and they just start freaking out and you're like trying to comfort them but you can't find them because it's so dark. It's okay, kids. Daddy's here, and that's a little more creepy because then there's this thing coming towards them. Just, it's all right, children, don't be scared. You know, we need light. In order for your eye to see, it can only see because it reflects light. So for even those that see really well in the dark, I'm not one of them, it's because there's some source of light somewhere. Without light, it's impossible for us to see. And so the Apostle John, who's one of Jesus' most faithful followers, Jesus called him the beloved. Well, he called himself, but he probably was reflecting. He called himself the beloved. He was in love with God. God loved him, and he was loved with Christ, and he was following him. And when he's writing his message to his people, he's writing his gospel, and he was one of the apostles that lived the longest, and he's at the end of his life now, reflecting on all that Jesus has done in his life. Reflecting on all that Jesus has done in the life of his followers. He's reflecting on all the apostles and the others that originally had followed Jesus who are now had been executed because of their beliefs. Tormented and tortured because they believed in Jesus. He's thinking, what was it about this man that caused people to so radically transform the way that they lived? And then I believe he would have recalled a thing that Jesus had said while he was in the midst of them that John later recorded in John 8. And he said, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. People who follow me won't go around in the dark. They'll have the light of life. And so now John begins to unpack his gospel with this analogy and metaphor of Christ as this light. Light coming into darkness. And as people saw this light, Jesus, and received him as the guide to build their life on, it completely transformed the way they approached their lives and changed the way they lived, so much so that it became a movement of people that unsettled the Roman Empire, the most powerful empire we've ever seen. And for 2,000 years, it has been transforming society. As people see this light and begin to live by this light, it is transforming society. We get to celebrate some time off, some chocolate in the middle of the year, or kind of middle sort, and some good presents at the end of the year because of this man. Who else do you know? This obscure Middle Eastern teacher in this tiny town in the middle of Israel has radically transformed the way we live and do life, the way we have holidays. For all of you that are thankful for holidays at Christmas time, if you thank Jesus for nothing else, thank him for that. He's the light. And so Paul is again unpacking this truth of Jesus and what he's done for us. He says in verse 4 of John 1, he says, life was in him, and this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Light shines the way. It not only helps us to see where from where we are, but it also helps us to see where we need to go. there's this movie that's kind of okay. It's I think it's about 64% on Rotten Tomatoes, if you were wondering. But it's called The Finest Hours, and it really records the story of these lifeguards in around the area of Massachusetts who, during a huge storm in the 50s, had to go out and find these guys that had been beached in an oil tanker, and the tanker's breaking up, and they're all going to drown. And so these brave men go out in the middle of this storm when no one else would, and they go out to rescue these guys. And on the way back, all of their electronics and navigation system fails, and the whole town has a huge blackout. And they're trying to find their way back, and so the entire town pulls up to the edge of these cliffs and to the coastline and turn on their high beams. And suddenly they see the light again and can navigate towards it. This is who Jesus is. He comes in and he shines out and he says, "This is the way." Everyone is looking for a way. We have a world that is incredibly open to new ways of doing things. Every day I feel like I hear about a new way of dieting, a new way of... Give me another example, someone. It's probably prevalent to me because I really want to keep losing weight. A new way of doing things. I mean, a new way to connect, a new way to live your life, a new way to stream movies. Praise Jesus for Netflix. There's a new way. And we are a world that is really open to new ways, because I'm convinced that despite what we say, Jesus came as light into darkness, right? So in the Genesis account, he comes as light into a physical darkness and brings light to the world. But then in this account, he brings light to a spiritually darkened world. Pastor Mark Saundercock preaches brilliant message this morning in the chapel service. Who loves Pastor Mark Saundercock? I certainly do. And he was talking about this. He was talking about Jesus coming into the darkened world. And I think the world is in a darkened place. But I also see at the same time within the world, this deep desire to make it better. The world is looking for ways. We're all open for ways to make our relationships work better, to make our workplaces work better, to make the laws and the way that we govern the world better. The world is looking for ways. And the thing that excites me as a pastor and a preacher is that I have seen a way that can radically transform relationships, that radically transforms bodies. I've seen people physically healed, emotionally healed, mentally healed, relationally healed, heck, even financially healed. And this way is Jesus. He's the light shining to the world, saying, "I know you're searching. I know you've been looking. I know that you're frustrated because you don't see it in religion, and you don't see it in this, and you don't see it in that. But in me, there's life. And I'm here as a light shining out to you to say, come, follow me." This is the light of Christ. And it is bringing millions of people around the globe to live sacrificial, loving lives, reflecting the life they've seen in Christ. There is something about Jesus. He's not just another fad. He's not just another way of doing things. He's not just something that you can add to your other beliefs and philosophies around. He comes to trump them all and say, "I know you've been searching and seeking, but I am the way, the truth, and the life." That's the power of Jesus. And so then he goes on and he says, there was a man called John. He's not talking about himself in the third person. He's expressing about another man named John, John the Baptist. And he said, he was sent from God and he came as evidence, to give evidence about the life, so that the light, so that everyone might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to give evidence about the life. When something works, you just want to tell everyone about it. I remember when I found this program called Todoist. Has anyone ever used Todoist? Man, if you haven't, get on that thing. There's probably something that's superseded it now. But just go back and give it a go, because it'll change your life. As someone with ADHD, it was like the most brilliant thing in the world. It actually was just this list that I could just tick off. I knew where I was going. And I remember just taking it to everyone I could show. "Hey, have you used Todoist?" They're like, "What's Todoist?" "You got to give me your phone." And I would download the app for them and say, "Start using this." They come back and say, "You've revolutionized my life." I say, "I know. I'm amazing." But I love being an earlier adopter of things that are changing things. And so can I just say that the reason we reach out to the world is not to annoy you. If you're a guest and you've been invited, the reason we've asked you to come to church is not because we think we're better than you. And if you've ever met a Christian who seems arrogant, I apologize, because we don't come with arrogance, we come with excitement. And we just can't help but share what God has done in our lives. We got to let someone know. And if you are a believer here today and you're finding that you're not doing that, perhaps consider, what is the light doing in your life today? Are you still stirred up by the fact that Jesus Christ has radically transformed your world? Because I can't help but tell people, not by necessarily all that I say, people don't want to be preached to, but in the way that I live and love people to show that God has done something in me. Let's live out His love. And if you're a guest here today, you've been invited because we believe in this thing. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in His power to help you, to transform your world. And little by little, you will see the transforming power of God if you just take a step of faith here today and receive Him. And so John goes on and he says, the true light, in verse 9, which gives light to every human being, was coming into the world. He was in the world and the world was made through Him. And the world did not know Him. He came to what was His own, and His own people did not accept Him. But to anyone and everyone who did accept Him, He gave the right to become children. Yes, to anyone who believed in His name. This light has come to show the way. It's up to us to accept it and walk in it. It's up to us to follow it. And for those of you who've never received Jesus or are yet to come back to Him, accepting Jesus is 100% commitment that He lovingly works out in a process. Some of you are fearful to receive Jesus because you don't know what that's going to mean for your world and your life. But I want to tell you that God is a good God. I have a view for my children, a vision for my children of them being some form of functional, helpful adults in the future. I would hope that they add to society, that they help society, that they don't go to tear it down. My vision for them is worked out on a daily discipleship basis where I show and instruct them step by step. I don't expect them to be here when they're just here. So God is looking for people that will 100% give over their lives to Him. And you will be so much more blessed if you can learn to do that quickly in your walk with Jesus. But He is a God who takes us on a process. And today what He's calling you to do in just a moment here today is just to make that first step decision, which is a prayer of trust that says, God, today I'm going to give You my life. I'm actually going to take a step and start to follow You. That's the beautiful thing about God for those that don't know Him, that He is willing for you to come on a journey with Him. So that you might not know about Him, but begin to know Him. But then for all of us here today, I'm going to just pop my pastoral hat on, if that's okay, just for a moment. That we do know Him. I want to ask, are we still following the light? Are we still trusting the light? Are we accepting the light? Having Jesus without growing in Him is frustrating for you and really challenging for our mission. My wife just got a new job, which is amazing, recently, and she went for an interview process, and on the base of that interview going well, she was employed. And so now she is a new employee. She's been accepted completely as part of the team. But her continued job satisfaction and effectiveness on that team actually is dependent on her growing in her skills and taking on the culture of the work environment and actually growing as an employee. And I love this line where it says, he gave to those who are willing, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, that word's interesting. It actually means like you're literally a child of God. It's not a process. It's actually, as soon as you receive Jesus, you are a child of God. But who knows that we have been saved and we are being saved and one day we will be saved when Jesus comes back. I'm interested in this process of are being saved because I think there are a lot of frustrated Christians because they know the way they ought to walk. They know the light that they can follow, but they're not giving over that part of their life. Paul says to the Ephesians in chapter 5, he says, if you are children of light, walk in the light. Walk as children of light. Because as you walk that out, as we live and remain in the light, we in turn become the light that others can look to and see this power of Christ transforming our lives. Let's go to the last two verses here in this passage here today. I think it's 11 and 12. It's not coming. Okay, I'll do it for you. Sorry, 12 and 13, it says, but to anyone who did accept him, he gave him the right to become children. Yes, to anyone who believed in him. They were not born from blood or from fleshly desire or from the intention of man, but from God. You see, the light has come not so that you can just have a better life, not just so you'll be more functional as a person, but rather the light has come for relationship. And Jesus comes as a light to shine away, first and foremost, to a relationship with the Father. He wants you to know that God is, but he also wants you to know who God is. He comes and shows, not only in his death, a way to the Father. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. But some of you might be asking, why do I want to have a relationship with this Father God? Because the image I've had of God in the past has not been a positive one. But can I just tell you, there is such thing as false propaganda. That there is a thing that puts out what is not truth. And in Jesus, we have seen who the Father really is. And he is a Father of love. If I want my kids to get anything about their dad, it is that he ridiculously, crazily, out of control, loves them. That despite what they've been through, despite what they'll go through, my love for them is unconditional. This is the love of the Father in John 3, verse 6. It says, 16, it says, this, you see, is how much God loved the world, enough to give his only special son, so that everyone who believes in him should not be lost, but should share in the life of God's new age. After all, God didn't send the son into the world to condemn the world, but so the world could be saved by him. You know, we can see God in all sorts of areas. We can look for him in humanity and in nature and religion. But listen, none of that is going to show you who God is. The only person who can completely reveal the love of the Father is Jesus Christ. And today, this day, you have an opportunity to take that step towards God so that you can have a restored relationship with a Father who loves you unconditionally, crazily, a fierce, merciful, kind love. And then that love, when we connect with that loving God, it then so radically transforms us. He then gets us to take us on a journey and shows us the way then to have healthy relationships with one another. So not just a relationship with God, but a relationship with each other. His creation, his community, his people, everyone. He takes us and shows us the way out of loneliness into community. But he also does that by showing us the way out of dysfunction and into health. In the way that Jesus lived, through his life, death, teaching, resurrection, we see how we can be called to live in healthy, functioning relationships. Relationships are everything. I was talking to a friend of mine, Keith, and he's at uni, he was studying, and they were talking about organizational health, and this lecturer was talking about the fact that what they're realizing more and more, that it doesn't really matter what process and strategy you have in a workplace, if the people that are meant to be working on the project don't like each other, won't work. We all need healing in our relationships. First and foremost in our relationship with God, but also in our relationship with each other. God is into a process of taking you, showing you the way to bring you into a place of health. John 13, 34, he says, I'm giving you a new commandment, and it's this, love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you must love one another. This is how everybody will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. God has called us into love, into unity, into grace, into forgiveness, purity of relationship. And as the mercy of God leads his people to live in mercy, his forgiveness leads his people to live a life of forgiveness. And through this love, a love for him and a love for one another, we can change the world. In fact, we are. Every single week, people are being transformed. There is a way. His name is Jesus Christ. He wants to shine light into your life. For some of us here today, it's to turn the light back on or to turn it up. For others, it's for you to receive the light here for the first time that's found in Jesus. If I can get everyone to close their eyes.
Hey, everyone. What a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, how shall I go unless somebody send them? And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world, through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. Hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by using @C3 Oxford Falls.